You, Rex. Back in the corners, can you hear me okay? Okay. Men, we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And sometimes that sin is because of our lack of integrity. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. See, when this scripture was written, God was talking about people like Enoch, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, and so on, and Moses. But he's also speaking about all of our loved ones that have gone on before us who are Christians. And so I have a strong sense that we have a great friend of ours that right now is looking down upon Huddle from heaven and looking to us to be the men of integrity. And that's our friend Jim Jacobs. And Jim has a tremendous, tremendous witness within all of us. And as I began to study for this talk, I started thinking about men that had integrity, and as I look around, I see a lot of men that I know personally that have integrity. And through my home church and through the great banquet and all the places I've been in the last 30 years since I've been a Christian. And so I know there are a bunch of them, but there's one man that stands really tall in that area, and you all know him, and that was Jim Jacobs. His integrity level was high, and he set a standard for Huddle. And I hope that we, meaning all of us, can meet that standard and continue to carry it on in his memory. So this one's for you, Jim. A young man who was honored as one of the best of the brightest and provided a forceful demonstration of integrity. When his high school team was given the word audition in a spelling bee, he glanced down to ponder his response and noticed that the word was printed on the microphone. He called this to the attention of the judges, who responded with a harder word. This young man did what he knew was right, whether others noticed or not. We don't know when our actions might become an example to others. But if we live each day to honor Jesus, our behavior will model his righteousness, no matter who is watching. Idealism and enthusiasm are often best expressed by the young, but righteousness and honor should be goals for all of us Christians. Paul told his young protege Timothy, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." This young man's goal in life is to change the world around him while he never compromising himself. And we all should do as well to join him in the pursuit of integrity and exemplary behavior. A good example always makes a good sermon. The World Book of Dictionary describes integrity as honesty, sincerity, uprightness, undividedness, unbrokenness, not stealing, being fair, being truthful, not lying, not cheating, completeness, wholeness, entirety, incorruptible, open, genuine, bringing honor and credible, commendable, virtuous, and God calls it providing things honest in the sight of the Lord, Romans 12:17. And so we should all want to make a difference in our change of in our sphere of influence, in work, in our home, in our school, in our church, in our sports activities, no matter what. But you know, there's a price to pay for integrity. I have a grandson, and since I have the mic today, I'm going to share with you a granddad story. And I know all you gray-haired guys know exactly what I'm talking about, but Seth, my oldest grandson, is 10 years old, and he plays an upward basketball down in Westfield and in the Carmel area. He's almost about 5'1", and he's 10 years old, and they growth chart him at 6'5". He loves basketball, and that just makes me so happy. And he loves IU too. I'm sorry for you Purdue guys. I'm sorry. You're not going to get him unless he gets a scholarship. Okay? So anyway, he plays Upward Basketball, which is a Christian league down in Carmel. And there's a little guy on his team named Adam. And he's about this tall, and he's basketball challenged. And if you've ever seen these little guys, they dribble like this, and they turn in circles. And wherever they go, every place, he would shoot the ball, and he'd never get a basket. So the team devised that we are going to get Adam a basket. And so they set plays. They set picks. They did all kinds of things, and they'd get Adam open. He'd just keep shooting, and he never did hit a basket. And then finally, on one day, they got him open, and he hit a basket. As a matter of fact, it was one of the baskets that went on later to make a difference in whether they won the game or not. And on another occasion, my grandson, now he's tall, but he wants to be a point guard, see? So, which is good. But he was playing in a game, and it was a really close game. It was the closest game that they've had. And it was two teams that were, they were volleying for first place. And he was playing against a kid that's just as big as him. And Seth had to guard him. And so this kid was pretty much stronger than Seth. So, I always worried whether or not he could stay with him. But he did. He did stay with him all right. And it got down to the end of the game. And all of a sudden, I looked up and I saw this big kid heading towards the goal. And he was shot it and missed it. And I said, "Where is Seth?" And I turned around and looked, and he was down at this end of the court, and Adam had fallen down, and he was picking Adam up. And my first human response is, "What are you doing, Seth?" And then I realized that he was taking care of Adam. And you know, that may not be the textbook definition of integrity, but I know integrity when I see it. See, there's a price to pay, men, for integrity, and one of them is we may not win the basketball game.
That's right.
We may not win the spelling bee. We may not win the golf game if we count all of our strokes. Whoa! But I do believe in mulligans. We may not get that promotion we're looking for, guys. And we may not keep that promotion when we get it. And we may not make the sale. We may not get elected to an office. And we may have to forgive somebody. You know what? That is really hard, that forgiveness stuff. But you know what? There is no revenge as complete as forgiveness. Did you get that? There is no revenge as complete as forgiveness. See, people are often unreasonable. They're illogical and self-centered. And so forgive them anyway. If you're kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you're successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow, but do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best you have anyway. You see, in the final analysis, men, it is between you and God. It's not between you and them anyway. That's from our spiritual mentor, Mother Teresa. See, you see, men, we are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savior, where shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be downtrodden underfoot of men. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill and it can't be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but under a candlestick. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, it's not about them, and it's not about me, but it's about glorifying God. We are God's ambassadors. We are the light of salvation for others. See, if we as Christians make no effort to display integrity in our lives, we're of little value to the Lord. If we are too much like the world, lacking integrity, we are worthless. Christians should not blend in with the world. We should affect them positively. Just as seasoning brings out the flavor in food and light directs our pathway, Christians should set the standard for integrity. If we live our lives with integrity, we glow like light, showing others the light of the world, which is Jesus Christ. See, men, and I ask you this, and I ask myself all the time, do we walk or talk, and are we talking or walk? People are looking to us in order to see Jesus. Our integrity has a lot to do with how they see it, see Jesus. See, they're fruit inspectors. The Scripture says, as ye shall know them by their fruits. And they're inspecting us all the time. And within inside of our heart, there's a secret garden. And out of it comes our speech. Out of it comes our behavior. And the Scripture says, from abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. See, it's just like a computer. Garbage in and garbage out. See, whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and any praise, think on these things. See, that helps us keep our heart where it needs to be. And we need to guard our heart, and determines what takes root. And remove the bad things like the thorns of dishonesty and the thorns of lying and the thorns of cheating and lust and covetousness and bitterness and resentment and jealousy. And replace it with the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, goodness, temperance, and faith. We should be transformational leaders. I don't know if Randy Blankenship's here or not. Is Randy here? But I heard him speak, and some of you guys probably heard it at the Great Banquet. And he spoke on being a transformational leader. Now, I don't remember everything about what he said, but I do remember that term, transformational leader, meaning we should be the ones making a difference no matter where we're at. See, integrity is worth it. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf, because my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar like wings of eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. See, we should all want to soar like an eagle. Having Christian integrity is worth it. Just count it all joy when you fall into temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, that you may be perfect and entire, not wanting nothing. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of glory, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. It's the book of James. When your integrity is tempted, it is worth it. Randy Morley, the author of Man in the Mirror, the book that we've been studying, says that the Institute of Behavior says that 97 out of 100 men tell lies 1,000 times a year. And that dishonesty and lying and cheating have become the norm. See, that's incomprehensible to me, because I know that that cuts us off from God. And see, I hope that that's not true of us today, because that's what all huddle is all about, man. Huddle is all about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and making him known to others and becoming men of integrity. See, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that is the only way that we can have integrity, is through him. See, we're a coward when we hide behind lies and deceit. And see, the Lord really dealt with me on that word, coward, because I kept thinking, boy, that is awful strong. But you know what? He wouldn't let me take it out of there. He wouldn't let me take it out, because it's the truth. Because, see, that's the way, that is the easy way out, because that's the self-serving way. and one lie leads to another. We can't remember when and what we said. Mark Twain said, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. And at my age, that's a blessing. Mike knows what I'm talking about.
That's good preacher, Billy.
Must have rang a bell with Bob, too. I believe God allows us to be confused when we don't tell the truth or when we circumvent. And I believe that he's disgusted with it. See, it says a malicious man disguises himself with his lips, but in his heart he harbors deceit. It doesn't matter if it's a big or small, whether it's a motel towel, whether it's cheating on our taxes, where it's embezzling, or embezzling thousands of dollars. It doesn't matter. It's the same. It says, whoever can be trusted with little can be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with little will also be dishonest with much. It's the book of Luke. See, integrity is worth it, man. It says, walk in the way that the Lord has commanded you so that you will live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. Our prosperity and our prolonged life has a lot to do with our integrity and the decisions that we make and the obedience, as obedient as we are to God's word. And we say, white lies, what do they hurt? Well, that first of all is it robs the teller of God's blessings. See, the essence of lying is not in the words, it's in the deception. It's a lie can be told by silence. It can be told by equivocation. And that's a big word, and I had to look it up. That it means the use of expressions with double meanings in order to mislead. Deceit can be used by accent on a syllable, by a glance of the eye, attaching a peculiar significance to a sentence, concealing information, not paying an employee who is deserving, and not paying bills when we're able to pay them. We say not I, but remember, 97 out of 100 of us are dishonest. I hope that's not the case for this group. God's looking for a few good men. He's not looking for the smartest. He's not looking for the best looking. He's not looking for the most articulate. He's not looking for the best speaker. He's looking for people who are honest and faithful and trustworthy and men of God, of integrity. We say, you don't know my situation. And God says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, the glory and praise of God. And we say, yeah, but God says, those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. And we say, but, and God says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And we say, but, and God says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. Christ says eternal life is a narrow road. Said, wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many enter in through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And see, that ought to be a frightening scripture for all of us. Because the road is narrow. It's not wide, and there's only going to be a few that find it. God says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that there's no other name under heaven and earth whereby he might be saved but the name of Jesus. And if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart, we shall be saved. And that therefore is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. God's looking for a few good men. Men walking their talk and talking their walk. Are we among them today? And will we be among them tomorrow? See, it's up to us each day. Choosing the narrow road leads to life, and that road is found in following Christ Jesus only. Aristotle said, "We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence is not in an act, but it's a habit." Our habit should be integrity. We shouldn't have to think about it. When we speak, it should be spoken with integrity. See, would we rather have an image in our society and impress others, or have integrity and influence others into the kingdom of God? Most of the time we perform to keep up an image, but that drains us and diverts us and robs us of peace. One act of dishonesty leads to another. It drains our passion for life and affects our reputation. It puts a gap between us and God. And integrity is the opposite. It gives us passion for life, and it gives us a peace that passes understanding. See, it takes daily effort. And I always quote these scriptures because I have to go back to them. As a matter of fact, I went back to them this morning and reread them. And it's found in Ephesians chapter 4 and 5. And basically what those chapters talk about is the Christian life, about our spiritual maturity and about our spiritual growth and our holy living and our spiritual purity, walking in the light and our Christian duties. If we are Christians, we should walk daily with integrity, and we should be wanting to share our fruit. See, does our private life match up with our public image? When no one is looking, who are we? My wife and I had that conversation last night as we were walking, or we were driving to the great banquet, and saying that, you know, sometimes people think that we're not something that we really are. And so we have to search that out. And I know that's a struggle for each one of us daily, is are we living up to the integrity that God wants us to be? And sometimes we have this falseness about us that people look at us and they perceive us as being one thing and another. But deep down in the darkest points of our life, who are we, men? See, I know, God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. 1 Chronicles 29:17. Bob Moss wears a shirt. He didn't know he was going to be in this talk. But he wears a shirt. And see, it means something when people wear something Christian on. Because I picked up on it. It said, is your faith a passion or is it a fashion? Did we just show up to show up? Is there something deep inside of us that makes us want to show up? Is our faith a flame or is it a game? We just goof around with it. I hope that's not the case. I find myself in that predicament sometimes, and I have to get back to reality of what this is all about. We all must ask ourselves that question. Does our integrity match up with our Christian values? It should. It's a continuous process every day, living with integrity, getting up every morning and making a statement that I'm going to live for God. Our integrity may be what attracts others to Jesus, and that is a big responsibility. Our ultimate goal is that they become salt and light also. The beat goes on, and the beat goes on, and we pass it on, and they pass it on. And that's the way it works. That's how God designed it, that we would be a witness, we would pass it on from one to the next, and they would pass it on. And our prayer is that they will also say, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and to salvation to everyone that believeth. Having integrity problems today, men, see, we can start over today. We should start over every day. Forgetting those things in the past and pressing forward for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And in 1 John, he tells us if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I have a personal saying is that I'm going to ride the altar all the way to heaven. I'm going to ride it all the way to heaven because I'm a human being and I fall short. And I don't want any false perception about that. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. See, the measure of a life, after all, is not in its duration, but is in its donation. That is not my phrase. That is Corrie ten Boom's phrase. Without integrity, it is impossible to please the Lord. And remember, men, the truth shall set us free. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day you've given us, and we just thank you for this opportunity, and we're thankful for the men that have come out today, Lord. We praise you today and thank you for your word, and we pray, God, that we would be the men of integrity that you would want us to be, Lord. So continue to lead us and guide us, and Father, speak to our hearts, Lord. When you begin to see us fall short, Lord, we just ask, Father, that you would just remind us of your word. And we just thank you for that. So God, just as these guys go to their table talk, Lord, we just pray, Father, that you would be right in the middle of it. We love you and we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.